Every week on GPB TV, our younger audience goes to an imaginary world under the sea.
I swam all around the world. I've seen this ocean on my own. And then I found my way to Reef Town. And I knew that I'd found my home. I met my friend Bubbles here.
Our friendship is the best.
Splash and Bubbles, a stop-motion animation show, is produced for PBS Kids and teaches kids about oceanography. It relies on digital puppetry. Atlanta puppeteer Raymond Carr works on the show. On Second Thought contributor Michelle Corey talked to him about his craft.
Let's dive into a little bit about the different aspects of puppetry. So can you break down some of your, because there's just such a vastness of puppetry styles, but can you break down some of the more common ones and then some of your favorite?
Probably the version that most people are familiar with is what we call Muppet style, which is pretty self-explanatory. It's Sesame Street Muppets, basically your hands over your head and you're moving your hands like you're moving the mouth of the puppet. And that's referred to as moving mouth, hand, and rod puppet, because you know they have rods in their hands and what have you. And that was obviously made popular by Jim Henson. And he pretty much basically invented that style. So before that, you know, there were some glove puppets like you would see on Mr. Rogers or Kukla, Fran, and Ollie or Howdy Doody marionettes and all that kind of stuff. But what Jim did is that all those shows on TV had puppet stages. And Jim decided to just remove the puppet stage and just have the edge of the frame in the camera be the puppet stage, you know. And so he would all frame it for specifically for puppetry. And that was like a big innovation for the time.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a game changer. So that's why all of his stuff like blew people away, because he treated it as almost like animation. It was like a combination of like vaudeville and animation, where he was able to have all these outlandish sketches where the puppets were blowing up and being eaten and thrown against the wall and all that kind of madcap animation style comedy, but it was still felt very quick and very like jokey and like in this vaudevillian kind of sketch way. And so that's the innovation that he provided. In addition to that, they've translated the moving mouth hand puppet style into animatronics and animation. So the show that I'm currently on with the Henson Company is called Splash and Bubbles. And it's a show for PBS that teaches kids about oceanography, and it's a series of fish. And what we have, the way it's different, it's a computer-generated show, but it still uses what they call digital puppetry. And my hand is basically covered in a little bit of a sock that has a series of servos and sensors that are around it. And in my
what's a servo?
Servo is not the proper term, but basic electronics that are measuring the movement of my hand. So okay. If I open my hand up, the digital character's mouth opens. If I close it, vice versa. Okay. I have a joystick in my left hand that moves the eyes left, right. Has a thumb toggle that makes the eyes blink and can control the eyebrows. I have a series of foot pedals that control the cheeks and the nose and all these sorts of things.
God.
I'm basically sitting in a chair doing all of these things to manipulate the computer-generated character's face. At the same time, I'm reading a script. So we're like a television show. We are shooting a television show, reading this script in real time while manipulating the mouth of the puppet. Then at the same time, there's somebody on the floor in front of me that's on this 500-square-foot basically pad that has sensors all around it in the ceiling that are taking the movement of this rod puppet that they're holding. So it basically looks like a fish with a series of ping pong balls, glowing ping pong balls all over it. And you move the fish around like you would on stage in a theater situation. And then you immediately see it moving in real time on screens all around you. So it's kind of like a real time video game. And we're working in concert with each other.
Okay, so you are controlling all of these levers and buttons and joysticks at the same time as speaking the script, at the same time as looking at the screens to see it come to life?
Yes. The other half of me, another performer, is on the floor moving the puppet around.
Did that take you a ton of time to get used to?
Yes and no. The specific system that we were using, the Henson Digital Puppetry System, I did have several weeks on that to try and really perfect the idea of using that. But the basic premise of it was still based on Muppet-style performances. And the Henson Company is a performance-centric production company. They are they lead by their performers, and they're one of the best companies to work for any aspect of performance because the performers really do deep dive and lead the conversations as far as like how much time you have with the material versus like, you know, there's not always somebody who's over your shoulder screaming at you need to move forward, which is, you know, it happens on set. So it's, they're such a great company to work for. So yes, it did take me a while to figure that out. But the benefit is that we were doing a 15-page episode a day of animation, CG animation.
Which is unheard of with actual traditional animation.
Right. Normally, in context, it would take months to get that. Of course, these were low-res versions of it, so they would need to process it and full, bring them to full resolution. But just that itself, it just is processing power and such. So it's such a faster process. So that's the system that I've been working with the Henson Company. Splash and Bubbles is doing well. It's still, I believe it's still the third largest, biggest show on PBS Kids right now, which is great.
Wow. Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah, yeah, it's great. And it's a musical, so it's all set to Motown music, which is a lot of fun.
Do you have to sing at all?
I do.
Oh my God, can you sing us a little song?
I am, so my character is a pufferfish named Dunk. He has this song that is, it's, I don't know what I'm doing, I'm just doing it. And it's all about him just doing stuff because he likes it, not because of anybody's judging it. All right, take it down. Trying to have a serious conversation here.
Are we?
Keep it together.
Oh my God, I
keep
wasn't expecting that. I need more. I think this show's for me.
Yeah.
I think I need to watch this show.
It's great. I play two characters. I play, well, several characters. I play a pufferfish named Dunk, and I play the mayor of the reef. It's Reef Town.
And how does he sound?
It's Mayor's Thing that sounds like this.
So I have to go all the way down from here
to all the way up to here.
Wow. Yeah, that was impressive.
So yeah, it's a wild time.
Well, you were saying that the system that you use felt natural because of that's the kind of puppetry you've been doing all along.
Yeah, and it's also the style of puppetry that they, the interface that we use, basically joystick and the hand control, is what they've been developing. It's what they did for the TV show Dinosaurs back in the 90s.
Oh,
it's how they
God.
Did the Ninja Turtles back in the 90s. It's how they've done, you know, A Little Shop of Horrors, all these creatures with moving mouths that have facial expressions and animatronic features. That's done with this system, except this system just takes it into the digital range and makes them computer-generated characters.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've talked about moving
hand and mouth moving.
Having
yeah.
mouth.
Muppet-style puppets.
Muppet-style puppets. Uh-huh. Much better. And we've talked about Baroku?
Bunraku.
Bunraku? Uh-huh. I'm very bad at this. And we've talked about animation-style puppetry.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
What are some others?
You know, one of the other styles that I like to use is I either do something called tabletop puppetry, which is essentially more of an avant-garde traditionally way of doing it. It's a lot of what the center, if you've seen a show at the Center for Puppetry Arts, that's generally referred to as tabletop puppetry, where it's usually like the level of a table and there's people operating it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it can be found object puppetry where you're literally just moving an object like a can or an apple or something like that and you're bringing it to life. Rod puppetry oftentimes is I use a lot where it's literally just rods going in the back of the puppet and on the hands of the puppet and you're manipulating in that very basic style that's used in a lot of Indonesian style puppetry and Asian art forms. It's a very traditional style of puppetry. I generally shy away from marionettes. I don't really do much. It's really easy to make a marionette look bad, and it's really hard to make it look good.
Wow. And marionettes are, of course, the traditional strong
string puppets. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
are they just too high strung?
Aha. Uh-huh. Yeah. So, no. string puppets. I don't really. It's really hard to use them. And I like the direct control of like a tabletop of Bunraku because my hands are literally on the puppet and I can make it grab things and do precision movements. And I find that to be a more fascinating. And I love a good marionette show. It's just not what I always gravitate towards performance wise myself.
Let me ask you.
Yeah.
I mean, in just the quick synopsis that you've given us so far, it's astounding where puppetry has taken you.
Yeah.
Would you have ever been able to imagine that puppetry could take you to these places?
It depends on when, at what point you ask me in life.
Yeah.
You know, I think that I've been very fortunate to get some ridiculous opportunities. And I think that as somebody who, like many artists who came up around and didn't really know what it meant to really be an artist, or maybe saw people that you were inspired by but didn't know how they got there, you know, to really, like, thinking about, like, the Muppets. When, you know, I remember having conversations with my other friends when I was a teenager that were into puppets and whatever, and thinking about, yeah, I'd really like to work with the Muppets, not knowing any of us how to actually do any of that. It is amazing, but I also really, I try and look forward while still keeping a level head about my own expectations and also my own abilities, you know, being able to really stay grounded in what I'm able to do and rely and know me as an artist. I feel like the thing that age has given me has been a sense of awareness as to what I am to other people and who I am to myself and where I stand as an artist. And also having that foundation makes me have a better realistic idea of where I'm going as an artist too.
Is there a lot of diversity in puppetry, or has that presented a challenge for you?
There is not a lot of diversity in puppetry, and it's more so presented a lot of opportunities for me, honestly.
Wow.
Because
for once.
Yeah, I mean, it's a thing where, especially people like the Henson Company, they are actively seeking diverse cast members and talent, because if I wanted to play a 5-year-old Latina girl, I can, but might as well get, you know, a Latina to actually play that role, because there's a certain level of authenticity that is infused in that.
Totally. And, you know,
especially when a lot of puppetry requires improvisation and just off the cuff kind of figuring it out. And if you have that as your background, might as well tap into that.
That's Atlanta-based puppeteer Raymond Carr. He works on the stop animation show Splash and Bubbles. It airs on GPB-TV every morning at 10:30. Raymond spoke with On Second Thought contributor Michelle Corey. And that interview was originally produced for The Cultured Podcast, which can be found at culturedpodcast.com. Splash and Bubbles.